Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Cinco de Mayo. DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. And in some capacity, professional sports is back, and we'll get there as the show rolls along. My Tenenbaum at 11 o'clock this morning. Rick, I know there's a big day for you, Cinco de Mayo. Have you started out properly?
No, it's a huge day. Haven't started yet. I'm just contemplating what we're going to start with. I may go Paloma. I may go straight to the margarita. I'm not sure. Maybe a michelada. I'm not sure yet. Plenty of options, though, Dave. Plenty of options.
Now, do you have crushed ice upstairs that's ready to roll?
I do not have crushed ice. Mm. I have the, the shaker is ready. I'm going to shut. They will be shaken. And then I'll indulge at some point. Hopefully,
the shaker will be shaken.
The shaker will be shaken.
Got it.
It'll be shaken, too, especially after last night. I mean, what happened last night? This may be just me, my own personal opinion. If I could live in a hotel, I would choose to live in a hotel. I mean, of all the things that happened last night, air condition broke, shut down, done.
Oh, no.
It's a wrap. Yeah, bedroom air condition, done. Finito.
So now how does
you
this,
got about a week to get that fixed, Rico, before the thermostat outside gets turned up.
But here's the thing. There's no way that his wife is going to allow someone in the house to fix this thing. I see major problems here.
Yeah, this is a fork in the road right now, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at a point now, too. I had a nervous breakdown last night because I couldn't find the saltines that I bought. Like, we got real problems at the DPH house.
At what level was it, DEFCON 5? They're screaming, saltines are missing, saltines are missing.
Yeah, I'm tearing pantries apart. I mean, I was going to make the kids. I bought it for a certain reason, too. The kids, I bought them because there's this thing you make where you put, you take some butter, some sugar, melt it up, you pour it over the saltines, you put them in the oven, then you take the chocolate, and you spread the melted chocolate. They're delicious. And that's why I bought them. So yesterday I was going to make them and then couldn't find them. And now, I mean, all hell broke loose.
Were they ever found?
Yeah, she found them this morning. They were right in front of my face.
Oh, you're one of those lookers?
Yeah, but they were turned around. I couldn't really tell. I mean, they were flipped around so you could only see the nutritional facts. Then nowhere did it say saltines. And so I just threw everything around. Now and then had to pick it up and couldn't find them. And then she told me this morning, dummy, they're right here, right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Mike Tenenbaum, 11 o'clock this morning. We'll continue on the saltine hunt as Cinco de Mayo moves along on 98.7 ESPN. I would say the answer is probably no. But Chris, we start with you. Did you watch any of the Korean baseball last night? It's funny. I was actually up at 1 o'clock. It was supposed to start at 1. I flipped it on. They were just on the field warming up. So I went to bed before it even started. Must have started at least 1:30, if not later. Did you check any of it out last night?
No, I didn't watch a bit of it, Dave, but I woke up and saw the highlights on Get Up this morning. And the one thing that I will say that's exciting is that they seem to have found a way back to being able to play live team sports. And looking at the state of Korea and where they were, you know, it seems like they were a couple of months ahead of us in terms of the pandemic hitting them. And so, you know, this is one of those things where we look to them for hope because you actually saw guys out there, some with masks, some without masks, and they were actually playing the sport. And granted, there are no fans there, but I guess everybody would be excited because it feels like if they're able to successfully figure this out, that Major League Baseball and other team sports can kind of take some of the things that the KBO is using and try to scale it in order to get live team sports back here in America. So I guess this is another sign that we point to and we can feel optimistic about it because if they can get started and things are relatively uneventful in terms of the transmission of the virus, maybe that gives us hope that we'll have baseball and basketball and hockey back sooner rather than later.
Please tell me you at least saw, I know Chris did because he saw, please Dave, tell me you saw the first pitch. Please tell me you at least saw the first pitch.
Live?
No, not live. Just tell me at some point you've seen a highlight of the first
pitch. Yes, yes, yes. I've seen a highlight of the, I've seen highlights of the highlights of the game last night. Yes.
So you saw the bubble first pitch. You saw
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting to say the very least. Maybe a better option than some of the first pitches that we've seen in Major League Baseball. Here's what I thought was interesting though, which I don't know if it would necessarily fly with Major League Baseball or any of the sports. The KBO isn't regularly testing the players. Like they don't have that. They're not, you know, the proposal with Major League Baseball was, you know, whenever what once a week or even more than once a week, you know, players would be tested. They're not doing that in the KBO.
So they just go at it, just go play baseball, and whatever happens, happens?
Unless you become symptomatic. I mean, they're doing the temperature thing and everything else. Unless you show symptoms, then they'll test you. But if someone does test positive, then they're going to shut it down for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
That's not going to fly here.
It doesn't sound like a really well formulated plan. We're just going to, you know, put our nose to the wind and whatever happens, happens. Then God forbid something happens and somebody tests positive. Then we shut this thing down for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's going to happen here. I can't imagine that the players are going to sign on to have that be the case.
And maybe they won't, but I guess there's a fine line that baseball and all these other major sports are trying to toe because we don't have enough widespread available testing for people in the population. So when it comes to something as specific as sports, something that's looked at as an entertainment or an elective, not something that's essential, I don't know that they can justify taking tests away from, you know, everyone else in order to get baseball or hockey or basketball back going. And I mean, Adam Silver has gone as far as to say that we won't test players unless they are symptomatic of COVID-19. So I don't know that you're going to have this testing, you know, on a regular basis if guys aren't symptomatic.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think we're going to have to get to that point though, where they have, I mean, we get past, you know, the optics of testing players. I think that's going to have to be part of the plan moving forward. It almost feels like with the KBO that, I mean, because you're talking about professional athletes that are, you know, pretty good shape and what we've seen so far here in the U.S. with, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, I mean, guys that have had it, been asymptomatic, didn't really show signs of it and got through it, no problem. You know what I mean? Von Miller now is tested negative. It's almost like you run the risk if you're regularly testing all these guys that you'll have guys pop positive that have shown no symptoms of COVID-19.
Of course you will. Of course you're going to have people that are asymptomatic to test positive for it 100%.
Yeah, and if that means that all of a sudden now a guy who appears fine, doesn't have a fever or anything else, but I mean is carrying it, if all of a sudden now that forces you to shut down the sport, that can't be the case.
No, you're right, it can't be the case. And you got to find a way to be able to identify the players that actually do have it, whether they're symptomatic or not, and you got to isolate them so as they don't transmit the virus. Because once one of these guys gets it and it goes undiagnosed, it's going to run through the entire player population. So you got to find a way to be able to deal with this thing. And it's tough when guys are asymptomatic. So you're absolutely right, Rick. I mean, until we get to the point where people are either past the optics of it, or where we do have enough available tests, it's going to be hard to get any of these leagues back started. But the one thing I will say that could be a useful tool that all these other sports can use is the antibodies test. And as they start to ramp that up and have more reliable tests in that regard, I think that if you can gauge how many players actually had it, and as we're trying to move forward, I think that can be something that's helpful. Remember the study that Major League Baseball decided to participate in about 3 weeks ago. I think that that's something that could end up being a useful tool, a guide in terms of being able to make the players feel safe and develop policies and protocols that can keep everybody that's involved protected.
I don't know if you guys saw this. Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
No, I just don't know. And I'll pose this question to you guys. If you guys were professional athletes at this point, I don't care what the sport was, with the lack of information, right, and how this seems to affect each person differently, I don't know, man. I mean, can you get a majority of the players that are willing to sign up knowing that at some point they may contract COVID-19 and they have no idea how it will affect them personally?
I don't think you're going to get all the players.
See, I think that's the scariest thing because we don't know enough about it. I mean, if I know what I'm signing up for, like with football, you know going in, right? I could tear an ACL, an Achilles, a concussion, you know, God forbid, you know, paralysis is, you know, part of the equation. Hockey, you know, all the different injuries physically, you know, if the flu goes through your locker room, okay, I've had the flu before, I can deal with that. You know, stomach fire, you know how to deal with that stuff. You've experienced it before. We've never experienced COVID-19 before. So you don't know. They say, well, there's, you know, there'll be some risk involved. Well, what can you define the risk? Like what's my risk? Like, personally, how do I know if I'll get through it as easily as, you know, Donovan Mitchell got through it?
I mean, I could get it. I could get it. You could get it. Chris could get it. Chris could become violently ill. I could have no symptoms and you could have a mild case. There's no rhyme or reason. Now, I guess the one thing is the less healthy you are, the worse it's probably going to affect you. You have to assume that for the most part, the professional athletes are in pretty good health. But still, I mean, we've seen plenty of people that are perfectly healthy that are wind up getting devastatingly ill. So to answer your question, we really don't have an answer to your question. We don't know.
No, we don't know, Dave, but they were making this point on the K show the other day, and they said that the athletes that are in the professional ranks, the ones that have contracted COVID-19, we haven't heard about them getting seriously ill or dying. So I think that probably eases the concerns about the risk for a lot of guys that are going to be returning to sports within the professional ranks. But I guess ultimately what this comes down to is the monetary implications. Like, how much money is going to be lost as a result of not being able to play a full season? Like, I think when the players have that information, then it's going to, you know, dictate what kind of decision is going to be made. Now, yeah, you're not going to get everybody to agree on when is the right time to return to the sport. But I think that if guys, you know, are shown the actual facts and realize that this is going to impact a significant amount of their salary, then there'd be more willingness, more cooperation from the player side with the owners in terms of being able to find a way forward.
Yeah, but in saying that though, Chris, here's me what would scare the hell out of me if I was one of the commissioners of this league. With a lot of the things that I mentioned as far as, you know, physical injuries and, you know, whatever else goes through a locker room, right? A lot of that stuff you can't control, right? That's out of your control. Like, you know, grown men signing up, getting paid millions of dollars. You know, if you're Alex Smith and we all watch that documentary, whoever it ends up being, Ryan Chadwick.
How good was that, by the way, huh?
It was terrific. But, I mean, you know, going in, like, it could just be your time. Like, something freak could happen. Like, you're willing to take on that risk.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to be one of these commissioners, knowing that you can control it. And I know the financial, you know, implications are humongous. But the last thing, God forbid, you would ever want is all of a sudden you push this thing through, you get all the players back, and then, God forbid, we don't necessarily know how all these guys will be affected. We got one professional athlete. He contracts it, and then he ends up dead. In something that in
well,
in
then you're ruined.
But this is control. But what I'm saying is all that other stuff you can't necessarily control, right? Because that's just – it happens during the game. It just happens, right? Like, something just freak happens, and you know what I mean? It's part of the sport.
It's a risk that you're assuming by playing the sport.
Yeah, this is something the commissioners of these leagues can control. They're either going to make the decision to bring you back or not. And once they make that decision, whatever happens, that's going to be on them. They have to be willing to take on that risk.
Well, you'd hope that they do the research and talk to the doctors and find that kind of where the curve goes and
yeah, but it doesn't
sure
matter.
But there's always going to be some risk, though.
No, but this is okay. Time out. There's always going to be some risk, but this is controllable risk. You make what you do as a person, the athlete, the GM, the commissioner, is get as much information as you can possibly get. Right. That's why the whole concussion thing was such a disaster for the NFL, because they didn't give the players all the information to make their own decision.
Nope.
If we have all the information, and we can go through all the information and make our own decision, that's fine. We're grown men, grown women, and we make our own decisions. The fact is, they don't have enough information. They can't tell me definitively how I will react to COVID-19.
That's correct.
So, okay. But that's the point, is that this is not just assuming. Like, this isn't you just signing up to assume. What is I don't know what the risk is. If you can tell me definitively, I'll get through this. I'll be sick for, you know, whatever it is, 10, 14 days.
No, but nobody can tell you that. That's not the way it's going to be.
But that's what makes this such a difficult decision, man, because you can't tell each player how this is going to affect them. You can't. I mean, Cassie follows some girl on, I'm trying to get her the name, but I mean, there's a story going on right now where the guy goes in, I think he was on Broadway, goes in with COVID-19, all of a sudden slips into a coma, something happens, and they end up having to amputate his leg. Who's a healthy guy, as far as he knew?
Yep.
Yeah,
is, I saw
is
that
the,
story, yeah.
The Broadway performer?
Yeah, I saw that story, yeah.
He's still in a coma. I guess he opened his eyes, but he's still out of it. He's going to wake up with one leg.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're right. I don't know what to say. But there's always that until there's a vaccine for this, that's going to be there. that potential of, oh my God, what if I'm the one in a thousand that gets it and reacts so terribly
But time out. See, I disagree with you. I don't think it is the vaccine. I think it's the treatment. You got to find a way to treat this. The vaccine, I mean, is not going to be 100% effective. The flu vaccine isn't 100% effective. I mean, if you got the flu vaccine this year, all of a sudden there was a different strand that crushed everybody this year.
Yep.
So,
no,
I mean, that's...
No, you're right. The vaccine is not going to take care of the problem in its entirety. You're going to have to develop a treatment protocol. Now, the good news is that they did announce late last week that they are having some success with the drug that they used to treat Ebola in the past. So we'll see if they can fast track that. And maybe these sports leagues can incorporate that in their plans to move forward with resuming the seasons or starting the season as it pertains to baseball. But, I mean, that's ultimately what is going to have to happen. It's going to have to be fought on multiple fronts in terms of being able to have a plan on how you're going to deal with COVID-19. It's not just the vaccine. It's not just the treatment protocol and the new drugs. It's going to have to be comprehensive in terms of these are our plans. And this is going to be the procedure that we're going to outline in terms of how we're going to deal with this while we're having our season. That's what it's going to have to be.
You know what it's like,
Chris? I don't think it's just one thing that's going to fix all of it.
No, it's not. I mean, this is going to be, I mean, a bunch of different things that go into this. But you know what it's like? I mean, this is like the difference between a regular, you know, ACL, Achilles, and a concussion, right? Like you don't, I mean, what makes a concussion so scary is you don't know how long a concussion is going to last or how it's going to affect each person. It's a crapshoot.
You don't.
You know what I mean? Like, you got one guy has a concussion. I mean, looks like his head almost gets knocked off. In a week, he's fine and he's back. As opposed to some guy who takes, you know, looks like a harmless hit. And for the next 2-3 months, he's got post-concussion syndrome. That's scary stuff, man.
And we see that all the time.
Yeah, but I just think I don't think you can just put a blanket statement over, well, we've seen this handful of athletes and how they dealt with it. Well, that's fine. You know, lucky for them. But not all athletes are created equal.
No, and then I bet you're going to have some if we start up soon. And I don't know if you saw this story from Trevor Plouffe yesterday that he says, and I don't know if it's true. I've seen refutes about this already. June 10th that they'll start spring training, and then July 1 there'll be a big launch to the start of the 2020 baseball season. A lot of people came out and said this is not true, including Keith Law said that this is absolutely untrue. But I mean that's close. I mean, to start spring training June 10th, that's a week away. I mean, you would think that in the next week or two, plans have to be fully in place to get started that quickly.
But, Dave, didn't we hear rumblings a few weeks ago about how baseball could try to ramp things up at some point in June, and then we're talking about them starting the regular season end of June in July? Didn't we hear that?
End of July?
No, I said we would say they would try to ramp things up in June in terms of guys getting back to the facilities and training and getting ready for the season, and then them trying to start the season at some point into June, early July.
Yes. Yeah. So he's saying, Trevor Plouffe, June 10th, July 1, but I'm just looking at something that says it was sent to me by our producer, Ray Dinahan. Our insiders tell us there is no truth at all to this. MLB is not close to making any decision/announcement. So it's funny. Every time you see a piece of news, you're like, oh, this is promising. This is exciting. It feels like it gets ripped away very quickly from you.
Yeah, because there are so many hurdles. I mean, there are so many different conversations that have to be had. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to put all these leagues, because time is going to be of the essence, is you're going to have to come up with what you think is the best plan, and then you're going to have to enact the plan, and then you're at the mercy of what happens. Like the rest of the country, the rest of the world is at the mercy of this virus.
Yeah, but I guess one thing that bothers me, Rick, and you kind of mentioned it about what the KBO is trying to do, and they say if somebody tests positive, then they're going to have to shut the whole thing down for 3 weeks. I just feel like it's inevitable that you're going to have one of these athletes when we return to sports that's going to test positive. And you've got to have a plan to deal with that without shutting down the league and suspending play. You just have to. Now, do we know what that is? No, I don't have any idea what that is. But I got to believe that the people in baseball, basketball, and the NHL are in communication with folks from the NIH and from the CDC and other public health officials. And they're trying to figure out or trying to map out the best plan in terms of being able to safely resume sports without impacting a lot of people. So I don't know, man. I guess we don't have any answers. It's all speculation. But, I mean, with the ramp up that's happening now across the country and businesses starting to get back open, you kind of feel like it won't be long before sports is back up and running as well.
Yeah, it's not going to be perfect. Listen, I mean, if it does come back, when it comes back, I mean, it'll look different. It's not going to be perfect. But there are some possibilities that exist that could happen. I mean, especially when you start talking playoffs with the NBA and the NHL, that, I mean, wouldn't be great. And, you know, one of those obviously being, you know, God forbid someone contracts it, doesn't deal with it well, and the worst happens. But more importantly, I mean, we keep hearing the conversations, right, about, you know, well, can you finish the regular season? If you can't finish the regular season, do you do a regular playoffs? Will there be an asterisk on the championship? I would say no, just because, I mean, you're still playing in playoff series and then you're going to crown a champion. Where that gets a little bit muddied up, though, is if all of a sudden, I mean, it's easy to say this, right? If we start these leagues up, someone tests positive, we have a way where that player gets quarantined, he gets treated, and the, you know, the playoffs continue. Well, what if that player is LeBron James, right? Or the Greek Freak, or, you know what I mean? One of the best players in the league. If it's Alexander Ovechkin. And you got to shut him down for 2 weeks. How does that affect the playoffs?
I think a lot of this is you kind of take it as it comes. You can't go into it saying what happens if Alex Ovechkin gets hurt or sick or whatever. I think it's a lot of, all right, this is what's presented to us. How do we react to this? Like, you want to be as buttoned up as you can be, but you don't know. I mean, there's so many endless possibilities that we don't have all the answers. And I don't think we're going to have them if and when we start any of these sports.
No, I don't disagree with you. I agree with you 100%. But I'm just saying, like, it's easy to say, you know, if this player gets sick, you know, Major League Baseball will carry, you know, extra players in the roster, or the NHL and NBA will have extra guys available. So if someone tests positive, well, it's fine if it's just someone, but what if it's all of a sudden the best players in your sport?
Yeah, if Kyle Korver gets sick, does the league shut down? No. Right? I mean, it doesn't, unless it's something extenuating. If LeBron James gets sick, does it? There's a better chance, right?
Yeah, well, just it would speak to the people that say, you know, there's going to be an asterisk on whoever wins the championship. Because that would, I mean, if all of a sudden the best player, you know, the best couple players on the best teams test positive and they're not available to play, I mean, is that really what you want to? Probably not.
I guess no. It's not what you would want in terms of being able to see the best compete at the highest level. But I mean, at this point, based on where we are and how folks are starving for live content centered around sports, I mean, just having a little bit of sports, it'll go a long way in terms of making us feel like we are back to normal, making us feel like we're getting to the other side of this pandemic. So I think it'll be huge from a morale standpoint, from a mental health standpoint, and just a welcome distraction in terms of, you know, the things that we've been dealing with for the last couple of months. So, yeah, it might not be what we want if LeBron James or Mike Trout or any of these other guys that are considered the best in the sport get COVID-19 and are unable to participate. But I don't think that's going to completely curb the interest in having sports come back.
No, I don't think it'll curb. That isn't really my point. I think that there still will be interest. I'm just saying, like, in order to get all these players to sign off on coming back, right? Like, I think it's easier with the NBA and NHL, especially if they go right into playoffs, because you're incentivized to win a championship. And we had LeBron say that, you know, the season's not going to be canceled. You know, he feels like, you know, that they need to finish up this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, okay, that's easy to say, right? Like, that's what you want to believe. But, your mindset completely changes if all of a sudden this thing gets restarted and, you know, you're one of these guys that feels like he can win a championship and, you know, 2 weeks into the restart of the season, you know, you're out because you just tested positive.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it sucks. I mean, it sucks. And there's going to be hurdles and there's going to be unfair. And maybe the Rangers don't get in because for whatever reason, or the Islanders do and the Rangers don't, or vice. Like, yes, you're right. But we mentioned this from the jump, in that this is going to be unfair. And this is going to be the one time that collectively we don't want to hear it. Right? I mean, listen, it's awful. It stinks. There's nothing positive about this right now. But if and when sports comes back, that's the key. That's the goal. That's what we need. Not complaining about this guy couldn't play or this team was treated unfairly or anything like that. Just give me sports back and whatever happens, happens.
Well, that's ultimately what it will be. I think that's why I keep going back to, as much as you want to believe that it's the vaccine that's most important, and that probably will end up being, as far as getting the country reopened and back to whatever the normal is, will be a huge step and an important part of that. But But I think as far as sports are concerned, I think the treatment is probably going to be the most important part of it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the drug that they're talking about? Remdesivir?
Yes.
Is that the one that they're mm-hmm. saying that they're having a lot of positive results with? So hopefully, you know, we continue to move in the direction of being able to develop drugs that can aid in the treatment and recovery process from this virus. But I mean, I think it's going to have to be, you know, a lot of different things. You know, our normal might not look like what it looked like before. You know, social distancing and incorporating that into our normal way of life. That might be just a part of what we're going to do. And that might be a part of the measures that these sports leagues choose to use in terms of keeping the athletes and the coaches and all the other personnel safe. I mean, we just don't know what it's going to look like. But Dave, I think you said this earlier, it's not going to be perfect when we resume play with sports.
No, far from it. Chris, is going to be very imperfect, and I think this is going to be the one time that we all have to be like, you know what? Shut up, and let's just watch it and realize that at least we have something. Because we don't have anything now, guys. I mean, there is nothing to watch. There's no sport. So if you give me seven-inning baseball, as much as I don't like seven-inning baseball, then so be it. If you give me, you know, basketball where it's a best of three or every team gets in and there's whatever it is, I'm not going to complain about it. Until we get past this, if you give me sports, I'm not complaining about how it's actually played.
Could you imagine, though, trying to have that conversation? I mean, you can just know, I mean, how most, I'm not going to say all, but most professional athletes are wired, right? Like, I mean, there's, you know, the badge of honor of playing through injury, or if you got the flu, I mean, Michael Jordan's flu game and how, you know, we as athletes take that as a badge of honor. Could you imagine, just imagine this for a quick second, is that you make it all the way through the NHL playoffs or the NBA playoffs, and you're just about ready to start the finals. And all of a sudden they're doing the, you know, every week we test everybody. And you're one of the guys that gets tested. You have not one symptom, but you pop positive. Could you imagine trying to have that conversation with that player?
No.
Hey, we're going to have to shut you down for the rest of the season.
That'd be awful. But it's all awful.
No, it's all awful. But I mean, the other thing you need to take into account, as much as we want sports, this is it's not going to be as simple as the commissioner say, okay, now we're starting. It's going to be the commissioner in conjunction with the players' associations and having the players on board. I mean, part of the problem with the NHL right now is guys don't want to be away from their families. I mean, that's one of the biggest hurdles right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge hurdle. I mean, you're going to have guys that feel a way about that, but you got to think about what's in the best interest of the whole and what's in the best interest of your sport. And if you're a player that doesn't want to be away from your family, I would ask you to consider the implications from a financial standpoint and knowing that, it might not just be this year's salary that's affected. You might affect next year's salary as well. Like, these are all very real conversations that have to be had, and not only within the league offices, but also within the players' associations, because guys need to understand the ramifications of shutting down the season for a couple of months, and with baseball delaying the season for a couple of months. Like, the economics of the sport aren't going to be what you're used to. So, I mean, the longer you make this delay, I mean, the more money we're talking about being jeopardized. And I think that's one of the things that could motivate the players to get back to the table with the owners and try to, again, be cooperative in getting play back started as soon as possible.
I mean, hopefully it's sooner than later, but the truth is we don't know. What are we, 2 months in now from when this all got shut down? Like, next week will be 2 months, and there's still as many questions now as there were when this thing started. So, I mean, hopefully sports comes back soon. Hopefully that, you know, there's some legitimacy to this rumor about Major League Baseball and then it gets started in early July or NHL starts. But the truth is we just don't know. And as soon as we do know, we'll, of course, bring it to your attention. 800-919-3776. So let's get the phone lines all lit up. We're talking about the return of sports. And if you watch, none of the three of us watched it. If anybody watched the Korean baseball in the middle of the night on ESPN, if you watched it, your thoughts on it. And this seems unfair. Getting a tweet that says, everyone is screaming for any kind of sports to be played, yet none of the three of you care to watch Korean baseball. It was on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I can say, listen, I mean, first of all, it's not a fair criticism. I mean, we have to be up early, so I'm not going to stay up all night to watch the KBO. But, I mean, when it's available, like, I mean, they'll have it at 5:30 a.m., I'll be up, so I'll watch it.
But you can't beat us up for not watching the game at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I got two kids that wake up at 6 a.m. I'm not going to stay up all night watching the KBO.
No. No. Now, if the Mets played at 2 o'clock in the morning, would you be up for it?
No, I would not be up for it. I would tape it. No, I would tape it. And when I woke up,
you would watch it this morning, though. And, and that speaks to it, Dave. I mean, you don't have any attachment to any of those teams in the KBO. So, we're talking about we want to see live team sports, but we want to see our teams playing. So to have that kind of criticism isn't fair.
No.
Like, we want to see the athletes, the teams that we know competing in the sport, whether it's basketball, baseball, or hockey.
Familiarity. You want something that's in your comfort zone. I don't know anything about
this whole thing is about some sense of normalcy, right, Dave? Is it normal to stay up at 1 o'clock in the morning and watch a game in the KBO?
No.
No, it's not normal. So what are we talking about?
No. There's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN. Rick, I'm debating whether to tell you this story or not, because I think it'll if your wife gets any knowledge of this story, it will freak her out and she'll do the same, and then it might be bad for you. So do you want me to tell you or do you not want me to tell you?
No, I think you should tell me. She's down. I mean, she's down in the basement right now doing some homeschooling, so I don't know if she's listening.
Okay.
I mean, Von Miller story already has her freaked out anyway. So
No, that's not the story. This is a personal story. No one else could possibly know this. So this
I'm just listen. I'm just saying though, the Von Miller, like the fact that Von Miller didn't go anywhere and just had people coming to his house deliver stuff, and he got it. That freaked her enough. I don't think there's any story you can tell me that's going to be worse.
No. Well, this is not a specific COVID story. So, Sherry orders this. I didn't even know what this thing was, and it shows up in the mail yesterday because we get things from Amazon like you wouldn't believe. So this package shows up. I'm like, what is? She's like, oh, you'll see. I'm like, what is this? You'll see. So this morning, she takes the wand, she puts the brush on the end, and she goes, this is to get under the refrigerator. I said, under the refrigerator? Who cleans under the refrigerator? She goes, just wait. It's the most repulsive thing I've ever seen in my life. She must have taken out pounds of dirt and dust and Cheerios and old pieces of, I don't even know what it was. It's a great way to jumpstart a diet. It was repulsive. I can't believe that this exists.
Yeah, I'm all set with that. I'm all set.
I called the kids over. I said, guys, I want you to see this. And they're like, what? What is that? I was like, that was under the fridge. How is this dirt and dust and food under the refrigerator? Like, I don't know, but it was.
Yeah, but don't you have to? I mean, you have to clean that though, don't you? Just for the functionality of your refrigerator, right?
Yeah,
you want that stuff to get.
I don't know anything. You know me. I don't know anything. I don't know how these things work. So, like, we would have moved out in 20 years, and it would have been like another city under the refrigerator. So, I don't know. But yeah, I guess so. Yes. I mean, we're not even here 3 years, and already there's pounds of dirt under the fridge. And later tonight, she's going to do it under the washing machine. God knows what's up there.
Yeah. See, this goes back to the whole knowledge is power thing. I'm all set. Like, that's something.
Wouldn't you prefer not to know?
Yes, I would prefer not to know.
Yeah. Tell me nothing.
Yeah, I'm all set.
Tell me nothing. When you see the results of the cleaning and there's like huge mounds of dirt, it's terrifying. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776. I mean, I told you the story. I should have not told you that, right?
No, she does the same. Like, we do the same stuff. The whole idea of like the built-in stuff is just a disaster. Like, we're at the point now where we have to redo the kitchen, but we have all the built-ins. Like, our microwave kicked the bucket, and because it's a built-in, that they don't make that size to fit so we have no microwave. And then with the refrigerator, everything else, so she had, like, we have to like vacuum. We don't do the wand. We do like the vacuum extension and stick it under there. And
right,
I don't get to see it. It just sucks it up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, that's better. I mean, seeing it was one of the great travesties in my life. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's go to Rich in Babylon. Rich, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi guys, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine, Rich. How you doing?
Great. Well, I appreciate you taking my call. First, let me thank you guys. You give us a little bit of something else other than constant COVID-19. That being said, I'm an emergency room nurse that is now home because I contracted COVID-19. Scariest thing I've ever experienced in my life, and still recovering. It's 4 weeks, and I'm not back to normal.
Wow.
So scary.
How was your health? Let me ask you a question. Did you have any like underlying health issues previous to getting the COVID?
The only thing I'm being treated for was hypertension, but like how many other people in this world, I'm overweight, need to lose weight. I'm always on a diet and never accomplish anything with it. But other than that, you know, I'm on my feet 12 and a half hours a day working in an emergency room. But you can hear already my voice is starting to crack because I get short of breath and weak from it. I honestly, guys, there was about 3 days during the middle of it. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I wasn't going to the hospital because you go to the hospital, people just don't come home. And that's the scary part.
Terrifying. And you're feeling, clearly you've gotten past the worst of it, right? You're feeling much better now?
I'm feeling much better now. Right. I'm able to, you know, get about. I don't believe I'm contagious anymore. But, you know, it's just trying to recover and recover mentally. To be honest with you, what I've seen in the hospital and what I experienced, I'll never be the same.
How sick were you? Like, were you to the point where you just felt horrendous? Was it the sickest you've ever felt?
It's the sickest I ever felt. I was in communication with my doctor, and we were trying to get some home care, oxygen at home, but just, you know, the logistics of getting that to go just wasn't happening. And then he finally called and said, listen, you just need to go to the hospital. And I said, I'm going to wait it out a little longer. Let me tell you what saved me, and this is great for anybody else who has it. My wife, who is not a nurse, it was amazing. I would lay prone, which is laying on my stomach, and she would actually do chest therapy on my back, and she would be slapping my back. And for about an hour after that, I felt the most relief. So she was doing that like 5 or 6 times a day. And I think that's what really got me through it, along with all of the over-the-counter medication. I can't even tell you how much I was taking.
Well, Rich, we're glad that you're on the road to recovery, and thanks for all you do. When is there any time frame on when you'll potentially go back to work, or you just kind of hold up at home for a while?
I actually had an appointment with my doctor yesterday, and he got a little mad at me. He said, stop asking me. I'll tell you when you can go back. I'm hoping each week that's the week. I'm hoping next week I'll go back, but we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, Rich, we appreciate it. Feel good, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about my thoughts on the coming back. You got a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So testing is great, except most of the people out there don't even know they have this. So you've got all these athletes that are going to come back that are positive and don't know they're positive unless we test everybody and start from ground zero. But that test is only good for today, if you think about it. If you contract it tomorrow, that test is useless. So, you know, you could get somebody who has no symptoms at all, pass it on to somebody a week from now. They have no symptoms, but they pass it on to somebody else. 3 weeks from now, somebody is symptomatic. What, are you shutting down sports again? I think this is a logistical nightmare for sports. I don't know how they come back without just saying, we're at the end of the curve, we're getting better, very few people are coming up positive now, or less people, and that'll be because we're testing less, to be honest with you. And once we start getting to that point, let people come, and if somebody gets sick, they leave. And unless you get sick, we're not going to be able to solve this problem. It's that big of a problem, logistical problem, I think.
It's a nightmare, Rich, and thanks for the phone call. Hope you feel better. I mean, Chris, it's just the truth. There's even the best ideas, even the best solutions are far from being perfect. I mean, this is a disaster what's happening right now.
Yeah, but it's not going to be perfect, and I think folks got to understand that. I mean, you're seeing states open up, and they realize that coronavirus is still a threat, but it's at a point now where they're willing to assume the risk because they recognize where the economy is. And you're already talking about Congress considering another $3 trillion stimulus package. I mean, this is doing real damage to, you know, our financial systems and our economy. So, I mean, certainly there's more urgency to get back to our normal way of life. And a part of that equation has to be resuming sports. And so, yeah, I guess not having the widespread available testing where you can test people, players, every single day is a problem. But I wonder how useful a tool the antibody test is going into whatever sports seasons that we're going to start up again. I guess that would be my biggest question. Like, what are the things that we have to look at? What are the markers that we have to look at that are going to dictate whether or not we're going to be able to start sports back up?
What's amazing, though, the more people I talk to and the more I read about this, and I mean, you know, he just brought up, you know, one day you come in and you test negative, then all of a sudden, you know, within the time span of that test and your next test, somehow you've contracted it, you're asymptomatic. Dude, there would be no chance, 0% chance, that I would have my family with me if I made the decision to go back and play.
Just because then they're exposed to so many people.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to take it home. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I'm sure guys are different than me, but no, I would just sign up and wherever they have to keep me, I'd just keep me. I'm not going to bring it back home.
So then you're going to have to leave your family for 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, do you think that my wife would want me bringing that home?
No, of course she wouldn't. But I'm saying, listen, even the best case scenario is not a great scenario to not see your family and your kids. You have little kids. To not see them for 4, 5, 6 months is a long time.
I'm not listen, I mean, there are plenty of people that will disagree, but that's my personal feeling towards it would be if I'm going to sign up to take on this risk, I'm not going to sign my family up to take on the risk.
And I agree with you. I wouldn't do it either. But my point is still, like, even the best thing that you could possibly do is to leave your little kids for an extended period of time. It's not exactly a great solution.
No, it's not a great solution. But if that's what the only means you have of providing for your family is, then you're probably going to elect to take that option. And I think for a lot of guys in professional sports, that will be the decision that they make. I mean, I know it's not a perfect world. It's not. There's nothing about this that's ideal. But there are going to be a lot of players that decide, you know, whatever we got to do to play sports, I'm willing to do. And Rick's right to the extent that players are going to try to keep their loved ones safe and they're not going to try to put them at risk. But that doesn't mean that the players aren't willing to assume the risk if it's tied to the paycheck. And that's what I think is the primary motivator for most of these guys if they're going to be on the side that chooses to get back to sports sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but what I think you just said, I think in general with what we're dealing with as a country, as far as, you know, when's the right time to get back to, you know, going to work and for the economy, that when you try to rationalize in your head for a lot of people, and I think for a lot of professional athletes that are financially set, is to try to come to terms with, okay, we need to get back to work, but is there an amount of money worth me potentially risking my life?
And I understand that's a real thing, Rick, but how many professional athletes are set for the rest of their lives? A very small percentage.
No, a very small percentage, but I mean most of the guys that are the guys that will have the most influence on, you know, whether or not, like, you're talking about, like, the best. I mean, the guys that we want, the guys that have the most say are usually the guys that are most financially set.
That's the question, and that's the thing that we don't know as far as the players' associations go. Like, is that going to come down to, you know, the players that are the marquee making the decision, or is it going to be based on the majority of what guys want? So, I mean, that's the other part of this that we don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
I don't think it would work like that. I think it would work based on a majority. What does the group want to do? But to Rick's point, if players say that they want to go back, but these stars decide that they're going to sit it out, where does that leave the sport?
I don't know that you. I mean, can you go back without the stars going back? One star.
And you can't make the star players play. You can't make them play.
Anybody play? You can't. I mean, you can't make anybody play.
But, yeah.
But can you have a? I mean, I guess you can. I guess it would continue along. We'd still be interested if LeBron and Giannis and those guys didn't play, but it certainly would be a different look for these leagues.
No, it would be a different look for these leagues, but I think there are certain players that have that level of awareness where they recognize that them being visible is what's in the best interest of their sport. Like LeBron James, it feels like he gets it. LeBron James is like, yeah, I need to be out there. I need to be out in front. Because that's what the country needs. If basketball is going to make a return, I've got to be a part of that. There are other guys that don't care about that responsibility. They don't care about that role.
Like the Mike Trouts, potentially, of the world.
Exactly. So, yep. I mean, I guess it comes down to the individual that you're talking about, but can sports return without stars? It absolutely can. It's just a matter of how it looks and trying to work out all the logistics of it. But I think that we're on the track to have sports back soon, guys. I don't think it'll be another 2 months before we see a live team sporting event.
So by July 4th, you believe that we will be watching live sports of something we actually care about?
Yes.
Good. I hope you're right.
Nobody actually knows, Dave, it feels like that's where all the momentum is going.
I hope that you're right. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York and 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. The time of the show where our dear friend Andy from Merrick calls, asks us questions, and we attempt to give the correct answers. Good morning, Andy from Merrick. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, I was thinking about some Korean baseball league trivia, but I was scared Dave actually might know that. So we'll go a little bit more traditional. Cece, good morning.
Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm going to take you back to 2015, your last year in the league.
Let's do it.
You were one of the older players on the Ravens, but you were not the oldest. Can you tell me who was the oldest offensive player and the oldest defensive player?
A two-part question.
Ooh, oldest defensive player.
And oldest offensive player on the Ravens. One of each.
Okay. All right. Let's see here now. Was Darryl Smith still on the team? If Darryl Smith was on the team,
he
I would probably...
He was on the team, but he is not the answer.
Is not Terrell Suggs.
Not Terrell Suggs either. They were both 33 years old, as were you.
He said oldest. Oldest, not ugliest. Oldest.
Wow.
Wow. I didn't take it there. That was Rick DiPietro, not Chris Cannon.
Wow.
This is a good one. The oldest. Now, let me look. Okay.
How about special teams? Who's the punter and kicker on those?
No, I don't count them, Dave.
No, they don't count.
They don't count.
If one of them was 41, it wouldn't matter?
One was a receiver.
One's a receiver.
One was an edge rusher.
Receiver and edge rusher. All right, you got me. You're throwing me off a little bit here now. Huh.
Give us a little hint on one.
Yeah, you're going to have to work with me a little bit on this one now.
All right. The receiver was best known as a Carolina Panther.
Oh, Smitty.
Yeah, Steve Smith.
Smitty. Okay.
And the edge rusher spent a number of years in Houston, Seattle, Philadelphia.
Oh, I know
he
it.
Got
okay.
around.
Yeah, but he doesn't really count, though. Jason Bavin was only there for a few games.
He was on the 2015 roster.
Yeah, but he was there for like 2 weeks.
Okay, he was still on the roster.
Well, come on, Andy. Now, wait a minute now, Andy. I go with you on a lot of them, Andy. Steve Smith, you had me. With the Jason Bavin one, come on, man.
All right. We'll give you half credit on
that. All right.
All right, Rick, let's put you back on the ice. NHL single season record for wins by a goalie is 48. Name the two goalies.
Ooh.
NHL season wins record. I got to think Brodeur is one of them.
He is.
Oh, nice.
Brodeur is one of them.
They're all two-parters today.
I know, all two-parters. Brodeur is one. And I'm going to go with... I'll go with Grant Fuhr as the other one.
No, let's stick to somebody in the East Coast. Very recent.
Very recent?
Oh, East Coast, very... Oh, Braden Holtby.
There you go.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Very nicely
done. All right, Dave, your two-part question comes up next.
All right.
You're not going to be happy when I say that Daniel Jones had 18 fumbles last year. Mm-hmm. Who or which two players hold the league record for most fumbles in a season with 23?
23 fumbles in a season. All right. One has got to be Kerry Collins.
One of them is definitely Kerry Collins.
Is Culpepper the other?
You got it. Yeah. No hesitation.
No hesitation.
Wow, Dave. You are. I mean, you can't clean a refrigerator, but you can on his bar.
I didn't even know that you needed to clean the fridge like that. That's how out of the realm I am. Thanks, Andy. We appreciate it, buddy.
Guys, stay healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, you're a one-trick pony.
I didn't even know that was something that needed to be done, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you're a one-trick pony, but it's a hell of a trick.
Yeah.
Hell of a trick.
Everything I have is completely condensed into knowing useless information about sports.
Well, you can't say it's useless because this is, I mean, sports is your job. So, I mean, it actually comes in very handy.
Yes, but it's, you know, yes. I mean, it's good for my career. But, like, once we're done at 1 o'clock, I become like a zombie. Like, I managed to navigate through life barely until 9:55 the next morning.
You are the, whatever the polar opposite of a Swiss Army knife is that,
no.
That is you as a human being?
No.
Dave's a specialist, Rick. He's just a specialist. That's what
it
is.
He's a specialist.
He's a specialist.
Exactly. I'm a one-trick pony. I got one trick. That's it.
You're a musket.
Yes.
You're a musket.
Yes. You can fire me a
single shot.
Yes. I might succeed in that and probably will. I'm a good, solid shot. But then once the chamber is empty, wake me up at 9:55. We'll do it all over again. Reload and one time. That's it. That's it. That's all I am.
We got to add some hours, Dave. We need to increase your productivity in life.
There's very few, and I'm not even like, there's very few things I'm good at.
I can't. I mean, Chris and we're sitting here trying to figure it out.
I'm a pretty good driver.
Now all of a sudden you're the Rain Man?
Yeah.
I'm an excellent driver.
I'm an excellent driver.
Maybe you are the Rain Man.
Except when you're in traffic, right?
Too.
Yeah.
That's the only time he can multitask is when he's in traffic.
That's right.
You are the Rain Man. You're the sports Rain Man. You just told me you're an excellent driver. You have a bunch of useless information.
Useless.
And you like to gamble.
I'm an excellent driver.
So you're the Rain Man. You are the sports Rain Man.
If you dropped like sticks on the ground, I could tell you exactly how many it was.
So you're like the guy who, like, if I had a jar of M&Ms, like, guess how many M&Ms are in this jar? You'd be the guy that won.
No, not really, actually. I tell you, I don't have a lot of great talents.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Outside,
you're a great dad.
Like, really, outside of sports, I have a good sense of humor.
You're very funny.
But
very
I don't, funny. Is that a talent?
That's just a trait.
That's not a talent.
Yeah, but some people are born naturally funny and they don't work on their craft. I mean, I feel like you've gotten to the point where you've worked on it maybe, I guess.
I guess.
Self-deprecating.
It's not going to get you very far. By the way, how great was it? I love this. We didn't mention it yesterday. The line, and we'll break in a second to bring Mike Tenenbaum on. The line in The Last Dance where Seinfeld's in the locker room, which was great, and he looks at the board and goes, that'll never work. Get rid of that.
That place not going to work.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was so funny.
What was amazing, that was when you're first watching that, you don't even I didn't realize until he got kicked out that was before the game. I thought that was after the game.
No, that was before.
Yeah, it was before the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. No, that'll never work.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.